Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Rizzo was on the station today with the Junkies this morning. Many of you probably have not heard that interview. We've got a few different clips that stood out to us from that discussion, and we're going to go through some of those, react now. If you have a thought as you hear some of these things and want to react, you can do that at 800-636-1067. The Nats have lost 10 in a row as they get ready to play the Rockies tonight. Their longest losing streak in team history is 12. They are in year 5 in a row of being under 500. And I would say they're at least in the fourth year of their rebuild. Although one of the things you're going to hear is when Mike Rizzo suggested maybe that the rebuild has not been going on as long as people think. But let's go through some of these Rizzo answers today. I want to start with the Davey Martinez comments about his players. This was Davey putting his foot in his mouth on Saturday after a loss to the Marlins. He was defending his coaching staff, saying that it's never on the coaches. That means that it's always on the players. That's how it was taken. Mm-hmm. And Rizzo was asked about those comments and what Davey had to say.
Here's my take on that. It's, you know, Dave Martinez is as player-friendly managers I've ever had. You know, he and Dusty Baker, to me, run the clubhouse like no one else I've ever, you know, I've ever had in my career. So when you talk about, you know, one of the, you know, player managers in the league, Davey's one of them. This guy does 500, 600 interviews a year. You know, he does two a day, pregame, postgame, every time. And, you know, he's flawless. But, you know, he got caught in a frustrating, frustrating, angry. You know, we were six or seven, eight in a row at that time. And got caught in a frustrated moment and kind of lashed out. And I think it was out of frustration. Here's my take on that situation. There's onus on the players. There's onus on the coaches. There's onus on the manager, and there's a great onus on the general manager to do a better job. We all got to look in the mirror. You lose 10 games in a row. You said at the beginning, it's hard to lose 10 games in a row. I've never lost 10 games in a row. I'm just my 43rd year in professional baseball. I've never lost 10 in a row. It's tough.
I agree with every word of that, by the way. I think he's dead right. I think it's exactly what happened. But my point is there's larger meaning behind it. And what I mean is he and Dusty Baker, I think it's the pretty good comps there in terms of this, are unbelievable at when everybody's shouting like, this guy's on for his last 20. He'll tell you he's going to go 1 for 21. His next at bat, it's going to work out. I'm in your corner. He is as pro player as you're going to find. It's a reason that guys love playing for him. That's why you notice it when that doesn't happen. It's so out of character. It tells you about that boiling pot, and finally the lid blew off, right?
That's actually why the comment felt like a bigger deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was such a departure from years of him doing the opposite, taking guys' backs, even bad players, sometimes non-big leaguers that were in the big leagues, and suggesting and telling us they're going to be fine, they're good, when we kind of know that's not the case necessarily. But yeah, I agree with Davey being so player-friendly. I always said this about Dusty Baker, who I didn't think was one of the better in-game managers in baseball. He's one of the most decorated, successful managers of all time. Dusty might be the greatest manager in the history of baseball for 21 hours a day, every day. 7 to 10, I'm going to generally disagree with a lot of the things that he does. But there's nobody better running a clubhouse. I think Davey's cut from a similar cloth. Davey's probably an 8 out of 10 for 21 hours a day, managing people, managing players, relating to players, the positivity, all those things. The 7 to 10 part of it, I think he's pretty average. That's not game to game, decision to decision. That's not going to be his strength. And so I agree with Rizzo when he says, this is a pro player guy who said something that was anti-player, and it's very, very uncommon and odd for him to do that. But I really liked what Rizzo said, which is, frankly, what Davey should have said. And Rizzo, much calmer, sitting at home in the morning on his cell phone, not after a loss, and with a lot of time to think and prepare, said, the onus is on the players, the manager, the coaches,
everybody,
and the GM, putting himself in the conversation as well. But yeah, that was a really good answer, I thought. And I'll just go back to that comment, while a mistake and bad, it just doesn't matter that much to me. Like, the should Davey be here, shouldn't he? What changes should they make? All that dialogue has almost nothing to do with that comment to me. It's about baseball, the losing, the development. Is the message still getting through? I don't care about that comment. It was a dumb comment. So what? Like, I'm not firing a guy because of a comment.
See, I'm trying to quantify it. And I know I think I'm different than you on it. To me, it's you're right. If I'm just judging the comment, I go, that's a frustrated guy. And Mike Rizzo pointed out, let's say he's talked 1,000 times. That's 998 really good ones and two times where he probably didn't say the right thing. That's a pretty good shooting percentage, right? I'll take that on my manager every time. To me, it's a bigger deal because it suggests something simmering. Like, a guy that doesn't do that, doing that means something more to me. And I'm trying to figure out exactly what. I want to ascribe something to it. I want to give some blame. I want to give some reasons. I want to give some causes, but whatever. Just the fact that he said what he said within 2 weeks, again, this is, I refuse to separate them. The other comment about the players indirectly, we're going to have benchings, we're going to have platoons, we're going to have to change things, we're going to change things if these guys don't get it. And then 2 weeks later, he's going, it ain't on the coaches. Tells me something, that whether it's they don't have the right guys, or he doesn't think they have the right guys, or he's frustrated with certain young people that he's not allowed to move on from because of organizational hamstringing or something. Again, I don't know what it is, but I know it's something. And I'm sitting there with my metal detector on the beach. I'm looking for a beep. I got, you know what I mean? Like, that gave me the trail or the sniff of red meat, and I'm the dog looking for it.
Davey was, I should say, Rizzo was asked point blank about Davey's future and whether or not he's going to be fired or should be fired. The question was asked, does this have any lurch in here, or is this just Rizzo? Okay, so to set it up, Bishop asked, look, there have been three other situations where managers got fired. The Pirates blew out their skipper. So did the Orioles, and so did the Rockies. It's not that crazy that you would fire a manager when things aren't going well. We've seen it in three other cities. And those teams caught some shrapnel from Mike Rizzo as he answered the question and defended Davey Martinez.
Pittsburgh, you know, Pittsburgh hasn't won a World Series since We Are Family. Colorado's never won a World Series. And Baltimore, Davey Johnson was the last guy who won a World Series with Baltimore. This guy is proven through trials and tribulation that he can handle a roster, he can handle a veteran-laden team, and he's developing at the big league level. And my track record is I have fired managers in midseason. I have fired managers after season. I have fired coaches midseason. I fired coaches after the season. We're all being evaluated. You know, we all got to look ourselves in the mirror. I said, but we are at a point right now where we're moving forward with our development of these young kids. I think Davey still has the pulse of the clubhouse. He's a great clubhouse presence, and he's a calming presence. And I think that once we get through this thing and win a couple of games, which we will, that we can right the ship and continue progressing towards winning a championship, whenever that is.
So here's my translation to that in a lot fewer words. I think not only in that answer, but throughout the conversation today, it's very, very clear that the World Series win still looms so large to Rizzo.
Mm-hmm.
He feels like with Davey and just organizationally, the Nats are different. They deserve a little bit more credibility. They deserve a little bit more leeway. They deserve a little bit more patience because we brought you a title. That was a reoccurring theme, I thought, and you just heard it there when asked about the Pirates. They've never won anything since the We Are Family team. The Rockies don't have a pelt on the wall like we do. Now, the Orioles, Cal Ripken Jr. was their shortstop, and he was 23 years old when they won a championship. And that's kind of the tone of Davey Martinez is a World Series champion you're asking about now. Put some respect on his name. But my translation of what he actually said was, I'm not afraid to fire guys during the season. I've done it. We are always evaluating the results. But in this situation, we have a guy that has won us a title, that has not lost the team, and who is still a net positive. Now, these are not my words. I think that's what Mike Rizzo just said. I've got thoughts on that, but I want to hear yours.
Yeah, to me, I didn't love the other organizations haven't won anything. Well, you've got one more win or a couple more wins in the Rockies over this same time frame. So I would
The last 5 years, the Nats are second to last in baseball, only better than Colorado in wins.
I wouldn't want to invite a ton of comparisons. I'll say that. But yeah, the Pirates haven't won anything. Is that because they fired managers or because they don't spend? I mean, the Phillies haven't won a World Series in a long time. They're doing pretty well, though. I would take their position over yours. So that, whatever. That was my first thought. But the second one was, my takeaway from that statement or those set of statements was, I've fired guys before if it's warranted.
It's not warranted.
It's not warranted. That was the ipso facto to me. That was the conclusion. Or you could translate a different way, more cynically, it wouldn't help anything. This wouldn't change anything. We're actually doing what we want here. I gave him a pile of turds, and he's shining up the players that are worth the damn. Like, the kids are doing what they're supposed to do. The rest of this ain't special.
The second part of his answer very clearly to me was, he's not part of the problem. Or he's not the reason we're losing. He's going to help. He's still a net positive, not a negative. But the first part, I think, was actually more important and more telling, believe it or not, which was he basically said he won us a World Series. He won a championship. We know he can do it. He's done it before.
Mm-hmm.
And you've heard Rizzo say that about the rebuild, say that about himself, say that about the front office. Like, we've won titles. Now, what was interesting is when they asked about the staff later on, like other non-Davey changes, the tone is kind of the same. Like, these guys have done it, which is not true, actually. Not here. They haven't won anything here. None of these guys were here when you won a championship. Not one of the members of Davey's staff currently in the roles that you guys care about, hitting coach, pitching coach, you know, the guys you see on the field, coaching the base paths when you're sitting in the crowd. None of them were in those roles when the Nats won a World Series. All right, let's go to the next cut here. Rizzo defending the rebuild and how long it's taking. So this, I believe, is where he suggested that it started in 2022. Now, this I'm going to have to take pretty considerable issue with because they traded over a half dozen players in 2021 in a major sell-off. That's when they traded, and he does circle back and say they kick-started it with the Scherzer-Turner deal. But that was not the only trade. They traded Yan Gomes. They traded Josh Harrison. They traded, going back to that time, I think Brad Hand.
Schwarber.
Schwarber, bunch of their relievers. I think they made probably seven or eight trades, all selling, none buying, in 2021. So the deadline of 2021 was truly when the rebuild began, the 2021 season, which means you've suffered as a fan base through the 21 half season where all the good players went away, 22, 23, 24, and now this is 25, which is the fifth year. The Junkies asked it, I believe, as this is the fifth year of the rebuild. And he said, actually, I think of it as when we traded Juan Soto in 22 as the start of the rebuild. Well, then what was 21 with the major sell-off is what I would ask.
Is that the tear down? You could play semantics with that say that.
Okay, maybe that's a fair answer.
Because, I mean, think of the Wizards, what they said, right? We're like, we can't rebuild yet. We have to tear down the old thing. We're in the tear down phase. I don't know if they use those words, but that was the implication.
Okay, but if the rebuild is different than the tear down, then the rebuild, if he's describing it as like when we got young big leaguers that are good, so Gore, maybe he's going to say Ruiz or whatever. CJ Abrams came over in that deal. I guess that's possible, but it is just semantics.
Yeah.
The reason for the idea of how long the rebuild's taking and how restless the fan base is the number of years that if I'm a season ticket holder, I've been paying gargantuan prices to see a losing team.
Yeah, at no discount, I'm seeing bad baseball.
2020, the pandemic, I didn't get to go to the games. I think toward the end of the year, they had like 5,000 fans there or something in some lottery. But that was a really disappointing, good, well-put-together team that was sub-500. But 21, 22, 23, 24, and now 25, it's five straight years of being under 500. But this was Davey when asked about, you know, this is not just about 10 games, I think was the way Cakes phrased it. Mm-hmm. Like the losing streak we're talking a lot about today, for a lot of people, this is about 5 years.
When you look at it, you know, we had 8 years of great success, 12 to 19, four division titles and the world championship in that mix. And then we had to rebuild. The rebuild, in my mind, didn't start till we traded Juan Soto in July of 2022. I guess in 2021, Schmacks and Trey were traded, so that was the kickstart of it. But, you know, I think we're into this thing three and a half years. The rebuild, before when I took over in 2009 to winning the division title in 2012. Took three plus years. This one's going to take a little bit longer. But all these rebuilds aren't linear, and landscapes change, injuries happen, player performance it doesn't develop as on schedule as you would like. But I think when you see the four or five young position players we have, and the two or three young starting pitchers we have, and the three or four bullpen guys that we have, they're all young, controllable players that are going to develop with us and learn with us and learn how to win. And when we get to the time where we're ready to win, hopefully we'll invest in the roster and make some moves to put us over the top.
So a couple of things here.
Yeah.
Number one, he talks about the first rebuild and how much quicker it was. Here's what he can't say. They spent money that time. So the part that Mike and the front office control, and we could talk about the historical drafts and development, which we've talked about a million times, that have to be better and over the last couple of years have. But just specific to the rebuild, the part that they control, having the young, affordable, cheap, controllable talent, they have done brilliantly. Now, it's basically a couple of trades, and it's mostly the Soto deal, if we're being honest. Mm-hmm. But you've also supplemented with Dylan Cruz being number 2 overall and Brady House being number 11 overall. But you're now positioned in a pretty good spot with a starting pitcher in Gore, Soto deal, leading the big leagues in strikeouts. James Wood, superstar, should be an all-star. C.J. Abrams, very good player, could be an all-star for the second time. Brady House, who just got called up, hopefully ends up helping them. Dylan Cruz is going to be a really, really good major leaguer for a long time. Like, that's a very solid core. They did their part. But you have to supplement and add with money. Ownership is not. They were supposed to this offseason. They didn't. 9-11, they signed Jason Wirth during that time for $126 million. You look at that roster they had, in addition to the kids, that core at that time, their young guys.
Zimmerman, like Desmond, Jordan Zimmerman.
Bryce Harper, you know, like the Steven Strasburg, the guys they had drafted. That was like their Cruz and their Wood or whatever. Mm-hmm. They had Adam LaRoche, who was 32 years old, who cost real money. They had Mike Morse, who at that time cost some money, who was 30 years old. It was a completely different situation. Yes, you had homegrown Jordan Zimmerman and Strasburg, and you'd hit on a couple of trades like Gio Gonzalez, but you also went out and spent real money on Edwin Jackson. They haven't spent that kind of money via today's numbers on anybody to supplement. They haven't brought in relievers at the same rate like Mike Gonzalez, or just trying to think about that roster, Sean Burnett or whoever it is.
Right.
Like it was a completely different thing because they actually spent money while they developed the young talent. Now you only do the other part without any of the money.
Well, my big pullout from that one in terms of quotes was when we're ready to win. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas. We'll be right back.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You told everybody you were ready. So if I'm a fan and I heard that, and I am a fan and I heard that, I went, well, what the hell was all that then? We spent all the time before the season started. This offseason happened, and a lot of people were disappointed. A lot of homers saw some kind of silver lining that some of us didn't see. Whatever. Point is, we were told this group right now is ready to win. I think that's why a lot of fans are so upset.
I agree.
Is that's not happening. You're the fourth worst record in the National League, and it's going south, and 7 out of 9 of your regular position players have below average OPS, slugging percentage, on-base percentage, et cetera, every single night. So no wonder you're not winning. You told us you were ready to win, and now you're saying, well, whenever that happens, hopefully we'll spend money. Oh, my God.
So the
panic
word,
button.
The word hopefully.
Yeah.
But the whole sentence.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you. One of my big antenna moments was when we're ready to win. This was the we're ready to win year.
Yes.
And maybe not. Maybe he means win, like win big in the playoffs, whereas this year they were ready to turn a corner, be over 500. You know, they said we're ready to win, and we all kind of knew what that meant. They're ready to compete
ready
for
to
the
compete
wild card.
A little bit. Yeah, sure.
Isn't happening right now, obviously. 10 days ago, maybe a little bit different story. But right now, that's certainly not the case, and it doesn't look like it will be this season. But my bigger takeaway from that sentence was the word hopefully. In that, Mike Rizzo, who's the president of baseball operations, sounded like me talking about ownership. When I, for the entire last 2 calendar years, said hopefully, in the offseason before 2025, they will spend. And everyone said, of course they will. Of course. I and so many of you listening were so patient. No reason to spend right now, offseason after offseason, when the team's bad, to bring in a free agent on a 3-4-5-year deal that would then be only a year or 2 or 3 left by the time you actually did start winning, if you did it correctly in 2025. Why would you do that? Wait till this past offseason, spend good money, bring in quality players, have a better big league roster. And I guarantee you Rizzo and people over there probably thought that's what's going to happen. And then it didn't. But for him today, when he talks about the future, to say, hopefully, play just the end of that clip again, if you would. Like, I thought that was a huge comment there. When we're ready to win, hopefully we spend. Hopefully?
I mean, I don't.
Hopefully, he didn't say the word spend, but hopefully we bring in
players.
We'll
bring in players, which means spend money on players.
But hopefully.
Yeah. Like
that is like a beep, 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 beep. It tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, I was in my car this morning and my jaw dropped. The rest of it, I don't think he meant all these things necessarily, but this was one of those times, as I said earlier, the analogy I used was, is Captain America swatting everything aside with his shield?
Yes.
Right there, his shield was down. And I saw like behind the scenes and I went, oh my God, I see the wire.
Hopefully. That's a great line.
You know what I mean?
Hopefully they're going to bring in players.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Oh no.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Like he's going, I don't know. Hopefully. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Maybe for true, a number comes in and we can spend on some people.
Now I can spin 2 plates here. I know that fans heard them say they were ready to compete,
mm-hmm.
and they took that to heart, and they're mad. And you should be, and you're allowed to be.
Yeah.
It's why I thought it was an unforced error. I've said that more on these airwaves than anybody else.
We both did.
It was an unforced error. I totally get it. This is where I sometimes get myself in a little hot water, though, with fans who want to hear something that I'm just not willing to say. I don't believe what is said. I don't take it gospel. Mm. I believe in actions, not words. The actions were not the same as their words. If you really thought you were ready to win, you would have gone out and signed a Christian Walker. You would have gone out and signed an outfielder who could hit home runs so Dylan Cruz could play center and Jacob Young could be your fourth outfielder. You would have signed a starting pitcher so you weren't just hoping that Michael Soroka could be a number five. You would have added to the bullpen with real relievers so you didn't have to look in the $5 DVD bin for Lucas Sims and Colin Poche and the ghost of Jorge Lopez. You didn't do it. So in my mind, when they said it, I'm going, they're setting themselves up here. This is bad. But I can't go to a listener or a fan or a season ticket holder or someone who's spending good money over at the park and go, oh, you're overreacting. You shouldn't have been listening to them. What? You've got to.
Yeah.
I can just tell you the story, and I always do, about Mike Shanahan. You still hate the comment Mike made about staking his reputation on Beck and Grossman. You still hate that. He said it, and 5 minutes later, I bump into it, and I'm like, you really think they're that good? And he's like, no.
No.
He's like, I got to put my, you know, I got to have faith in them. I got to put my name behind them, you know, in publicly so that they know I'm behind them. But he knew what they were, but everyone thinks that, you know, he thought John Beck was going to be great. So I get that. I just don't do it that way. I'm an actions guy. But they set themselves up for sure. And that is part of the anger for the fan base. And it's 1,000% understandable. But hopefully, Danny, on the way out, play that. Hopefully. What a word. What a damaging.
Doing a lot of lifting. Or depressing in this case.
What a heartbreaking word.
Yeah.
I could either hear this clip again or I could get kicked in the shins.
Hopefully.
Which one?
Hopefully do.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.